We are recording.
Better get something to eat while we're doing it.
Wait, you're gonna go eat in the middle of the introduction?
Yeah.
No, 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 that's not how it
Stop
works.
Stop me.
You're too far away, they can't hear you. I have to follow you with the microphone now.
Hi.
Good morning. Hello, this is Scott Stimson.
And Viviana Simpson.
Introducing the San Carlos Computer Club, which we've been doing together now for weeks.
Yeah!
Each Tuesday at 10 a.m.
It's the 16th today.
Today's the 16th, but the podcast is a recording of our meeting from last Tuesday, the 10th of November, 2020. What's that?
Open it!
Open this?
Yes!
It's open.
Thank you.
And BB and I are here to say hi.
Hello!
And welcome you to the club meeting that BB never attends.
Woo!
I was going to say she's raising her hand, which you can't see on a podcast. We like to talk about tech topics, the news, and our general personal stories. We broadcast on YouTube as well, live.
Wow.
If you're interested in our meeting, just visit our website at sccclub.com.
Richard!
Oh, we're getting a phone call in the middle of the recording. Go away, Richard. Salute.
Thank you.
We meet every Tuesday at 10 for an hour to discuss tech topics and tech news, ask questions, and help each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and occasionally, BB will
appear in the background.
Yeah, like this meeting, or was it last meeting you guys called?
Last meeting.
Last meeting, they called a Skype call right in the middle of the meeting.
Oh, I think it was.
It was this meeting, wasn't it? The one we're making the recording for.
Yeah, I made a Skype call because Emmy didn't want to do it.
But we talked to Emmy. We didn't talk to you. No, well, we did hear you laughing in the background. As we do on the intros many times.
I was waiting for my phone back.
Just
it's always my phone. Mommy calls me on my phone. You call me on my phone. It's never Emmy's. I do the calling on my phone.
Maybe you need to instruct those people in computer ways and have them use their own phones.
Emmy has a phone with her. Why didn't she call you?
She has two right
That's
now.
That's what I'm saying. So why didn't she use hers to call you?
We gotta go. This has got to be it. This has to be the intro. Remember, find us on YouTube. Find us at sccclub.org. That's right. sccclub.org. How come you don't know that? I've been doing this computer club for before you were born.
What?
The computer club dates back to like 2001. Isn't that amazing?
You're old.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
This is Scott Stimson, the host.
Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
She's bilingual. Give her a moment. She'll figure out what language she's talking in. Try it again.
Bonjour!
She thinks she's trilingual, but you should hear her French. It's outrageous. This is Scott Stimson, the host.
And this is Viviana Stimson, the daughter.
If only the finger guns would pop out on the audio, this would be a great recording. Until tomorrow, apparently, because we're so late getting this out. Tech on.
Tech on.
All right. How do I sound? Oh, there is still some kind of weird delay on my end.
One second.
Do I sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you just look like a bad ventriloquist.
I think we're just going to go forward with that. Hopefully it's not a reoccurring problem, but it happens to be a problem at the moment. I just reached behind me and hit the streaming button so that I didn't have to think about it, so we're a public conversation at this moment. We've still got a few minutes to go, but everybody is...
Hello, world.
Hello, world. We're... Wow, why am I having these problems? I'm saying
it's 7 seconds. Delay.
7 seconds delayed.
But the other timers probably have a more accurate.
I don't know.
Scott's the only one that's delaying. Yeah, like Judy is almost synced up.
Oop. Somebody. Is that you, Bill?
That wasn't me.
Are you sure? I'm hearing you echo.
Yeah, but I'm not repeating.
Well, I think I might have found it. Am I sounding better? Am I looking better? Oops. I got to turn this thing
off. No, you don't look better.
You're gone.
I'm in.
Now you're back.
Same old Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Good morning, honey. I want you to know it's really early in Alaska right now.
What time is it?
It's almost 8 o'clock.
Well, that's
but better. No worries. We've been up since 4. We didn't want to miss it.
Well, I appreciate your dedication. Really, why have you been up since 4?
No one can explain it, but both of us have been. I need a nap today.
Well, thank you guys.
That's pretty much my normal.
Go ahead, Judy. I'm sorry.
Kind of my normal time. I really don't get up and stay up at 4, but I'm up.
Well, I think anybody over 60 could have that conversation. We could all meet about 4 a.m. No matter where we are.
Okay, I might sometimes be up at that time, but I'm not ready to do the meeting that early.
What it is 4 a.m. that we all wake up at that time.
Maybe our pills have run out. I don't know either.
I'm awake at 4, 6, and 8, but I can go back to sleep till 10.
That's good.
I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions, and you are the San Carlos Computer Club, and this is today's Tuesday meeting for November 10th. Thank you all for being here, and so many people showed up early, which was great for helping me debug what might be going on with my connection this morning. This could probably turn into a weekly meeting of what's wrong with Scott's connection. I gotta stop looking.
That's what it was called.
Yeah, I gotta stop looking over my shoulder. I should just turn this monitor off because all it does is cause me stress because it's not working. And that's how I spent my morning last night. I was telling Bill earlier last night. I made a change to my website, just a subtle change, but I suffer from knowing just enough to get into trouble. And the change I thought I was making, I was doing wrong. And I knocked the business website offline until this morning. And at one point, I had a customer support guy saying, well, can we restore it from last week? I'm like, no, you can't restore it from last week. I haven't gotten a backup of it yet, and I can see it in front of me. And it was ridiculous. And so my stomach has been in knots all morning dealing with this problem. And I really only became aware of what damage I had done because I went to publish the podcast from last week, last night, and I couldn't get it onto the website because I do a bit of cross-site stuff. I became aware that I had knocked my domain offline. So fortunately, just about an hour ago, maybe an hour and a half ago, we got it sorted out. And it was a subtle change that took a few moments to happen, but it really was like a drop-down that needed to change. But until then, I had this support person, myself, and the support person they were talking to trying to figure out how to resolve this issue. And I'm looking at my files. I'm able to connect to their servers. I'm giving them all this information. All my accounts are working. I can log in to all these different... But the website is not appearing. And they finally figured it out. Yeah. So that's how I spent my morning. And consequently, I didn't have time to review any real topics for today, so I'm hoping people are showing up with their own stuff today. I'm happy to answer.
I have one.
Any questions? Like, Judy's got her hand up right now. What do you got, Judy?
Well, so, you know, last week I had done the upgrade to 14.1.
That's right.
So then a new one came on, 14.2. So yesterday I did that, and everything was working great, except when I get messages in my email, and I use Apple's mail thing. So when I get the message comes in, it doesn't say, like, for example, Home Depot anymore. It says Depot Home.
That is odd.
And nothing changed on my iPhone, even though I haven't done a 4.2, or on my laptop.
So what you're saying is that your notifications have changed to putting the last name first?
Well, not even the last name, because when I look in my contacts, Home Depot is Home Depot. So, but when it comes into my, this is an example.
Sure.
Like when it comes into my news, Apple News comes as News Apple. Yeah, it's very, very odd. For example, Computer Club came in as, if I find it, it was
Computer.
It actually kind of like that, yes.
So, and this is on your iPhone or your iPad?
iPad.
And you only noticed this? These are the mail notifications, like the ones that are popping up on your lock screen?
No, these are in my inbox.
Okay, your inbox is listing them differently then.
Yes. And I couldn't find anything. I typed all that in, you know, and I couldn't find anything.
I'm doing a quick Google search here to see if something pops up.
Camera went off, Judy.
Judy, would four it have come in like chronological, like by the time, and now it's coming in by alphabetical?
They come at the right time. It's the way it's like Costco online comes in linea Costco in.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the display of the list has changed from from first name, last name to last name, first name.
But it did not change in my contacts.
No, I don't think it would change in your contacts because that would be a different application. I mean, they share the same data, but how they're formatting is based on the application. I do have some good news, though. Okay. I'm looking at the 14.2 update, and it appears that this is fixed. So you've been broken this whole time.
No, I haven't been broken. It's been working fine.
It says it's fixed the email.
I know. Bank of America comes in as America Bank of. It's very strange.
Is your device still in English?
Yes.
It's not Banco de America?
Well, Costco is in Spanish, but that's because I'm a Mexican Costco member. But it's like my calendar notification came in calendar Google.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like what you're looking at is your last name is being displayed first.
My alert from the computer club came in as computer club V San Carlos.
Yep. I'm looking to see, it's the following improvements for your iPad. Over 100 new emojis. Including animals, food, faces, household objects, musical instruments, gender-inclusive emojis, and more. So you can express your outrage at your email in many different forms now. 8 new wallpapers in both light and dark mode. Have you tried any of these?
No. I don't use wallpaper. I took a picture of a black piece of paper, and that's what I use as my background.
Okay. Scene detection in camera uses intelligent image recognition to identify objects within a scene and automatically improves the photo on the iPad Air.
What if the subject isn't intelligent?
Well, this says improves. So maybe they get smarter.
Maybe we could use that some other way. Can we point it politically somehow?
Magnifier scene detection. Auto frames per second in camera automatically reduces the frame rate when recording video to improve low light capture and to optimize file size. This is also on the iPad Air. I bet if you don't have the Air, you don't get those.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Because my iPad is I can't remember what it is, but it's not new enough to have.
Optimized charging for the new iPods. Or the AirPods, I'm sorry, the headphones.
Do you want that iPod that I have for you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in it.
Shop?
Say that again?
You want me to take it down to the shop?
Oh, sure, yeah, if you don't mind. I keep meaning to catch up with you, but it just hasn't happened.
Okay. I go by there frequently, so...
Oh, good.
And the antique Roku device.
And the antique Roku device. Yeah, just for giggles, I'll take a look at it.
Of course, it's never been used. It's brand new.
But it's antique?
Yes.
I'll put it next to mine. I've got an antique. Apple Cache, screen could go black during Netflix. Voice memo recordings are interrupted by incoming calls. Weather widget, photo widget. There's nothing here about email changing.
No, I couldn't find anything.
You know what I know about the Macintosh operating system, which these iOS operating systems are based on, it's the foundation, is that every update made a change to mail. It required you, and you've probably experienced it yourself, Judy, that you'd go from Mac OS 10.13 to 10.14, and when you went into the Mac mail, it would have to rebuild that database for the new operating system. And that tells me that there are things that they do, fundamental changes to mail that they do when they do these upgrades. And I would expect that to be the case in iOS as well.
And I'm thinking there'll be a 14.2.1 soon.
Maybe they've either changed the default view for how it lists messages in iOS, or maybe there is a default view that you changed at one point, and by updating, it changed it back to that default view. I don't know if you heard me, Judy.
I did. I will look at default view and display. Those are my two things.
View, yeah. That's what it sounds. It sounds like you're describing a feature as a bug, which I just described almost every Microsoft update. Is a feature, not a bug. But it seems like what you're looking for is the way to display, the way to list and organize your emails. And it's
And the other piece of that in Gmail, in Google Mail,
yes,
they're coming through correctly. So it is not a Google Mail issue.
So that's good to note, but simply because the Gmail app would display them in their own way, and the Apple app would choose to display them in their own way. I'm suspecting it's a setting you have control over, and it flipped when you did the update.
I'll look at those. Thank you.
Please get back to us on it, because I am at the moment, I'm just doing this on the fly, but at the moment I'm not finding what that would be, and I'd be really curious to know. Well, I am hurting for bandwidth over here, which I should not be. And I don't know if it's just the moment or because I'm sharing with my children. I'm supposed to have
they're
plenty
playing
of
games.
Speed. No, they're in school.
They're that's what you think.
That's right. They're streaming Xbox games. Well,
I see ads for terrible games where the World of Z or something like that, where you're mowing down crowds of people coming towards you and stuff like that. Terrible looking games.
Okay, but to be fair, that's a zombie game. You're supposed to mow them down. They're zombies.
Those are zombies.
Supposed to let them go.
But just the same, the thrill of mass murder is the theme.
You know, it's interesting. I've never felt like that was anything to be concerned with. If anything, like all our other hobbies, it's about outlets. And I've always felt like having outlets like that for aggressive people are a great place to go. I mean, in my personal opinion, if you come home from work and have a bad day, do you kick the dog or do you kill zombies? I'm not saying I'm the kind of person that would kick the dog, and I don't spend a lot of time killing zombies, but you do know there's people out there that kick the dog when they come home. And if
after football games, there's a lot of women that get beat.
Wow. Yeah, that's a profound thought. Well, so if you could channel that hostility into something like a video game, to me, that sounds healthy. That doesn't sound dangerous.
Yeah, the wife says, go play a game.
Right. Well, I honestly don't have, what have I got here? I'm not abreast in any particular topics this morning, so I am happy to answer or talk about just about anything. And as we're talking now, I'm just looking through my list of old topics, which we could bring up some of them, but I wouldn't be that well versed on them because they're old. I haven't looked at them since I put them in the old list.
I did find Yellowstone on Peacock TV when I open it with my Epic browser.
Are you able to watch it?
It says I can. I didn't try to.
You should try, because I was able to do Peacock using Opera and the built-in VPN, but then I wasn't able to stream it. So I was able to sign up for Peacock as though I was in the States. I was able to see their catalog, which you cannot do without a VPN, without using that built-in one in Opera. It just gave me a "you're in the wrong country" message. But then when
it may still be up on my laptop.
Yeah, it would be interesting if something as simple as switching browsers would allow us to use those. My air conditioner just turned on all by itself. I have a ghost in my office. Like, it's 60 degrees. I don't need the air conditioner. Anyone got a topic? Oh, you know what we could do is we could go through recommendations. I definitely have one of those. If you've got a book or a movie or an audio podcast that you've found interesting over the last week that we have not heard about and you'd like to share, please bring it up right now.
I have one on Netflix, a six-part Netflix movie called The Queen's Gambit.
The Queen's Gambit. Oh, Paul, that's a great recommendation. You and I just finished watching that.
Yeah.
I watched it last week.
You did, Cheryl. So I'd never heard of this woman. Had you guys heard of her before?
No.
I guess you'd have to be a chess aficionado to be aware of who she is.
And also, I think The Crown starts next week.
Oh, good.
They did a great job in that Queen's Gambit. They tell a great story from an orphan up to, well, she didn't get all that old in the story. I mean, she accomplished an amazing amount of wins, I think, before she was even 20 years old, as we were following it. Go ahead, Paul.
I think she's like 21 at the end.
Yeah. I'm really curious if that will lend to another season, because her story can't be over. It's not like she died at the end. And she has addiction problems, but she's this chess genius since she was a child. And they did a really good job of taking the idea of competitive chess and turning it into a dramatic, thrilling kind of story.
Her mother was a mathematician, I guess, because it showed one scene where she's looking at her mother's thesis for PhD in the mathematics.
I guess I missed that. I didn't realize that I was probably looking at my phone while that was passing by. I liked how her mind had such room for that kind of thought, that even though she didn't have a chessboard as a child, she would stare at the ceiling and play chess on the ceiling with her imagination.
Yeah, I thought that the videography was really cool, especially like the chess pieces on the ceiling. Yeah, it was like her mind. And yeah, so it's a really interesting production. There was all kinds of foreboding, and you were wondering exactly how her life was going to be, and the flashbacks to how she became an orphan. And yeah, it was an interesting telling of a very interesting story. And I was really hit by the addiction problems. Well, they started in the orphanage where they were calming the orphans down by giving them all these meds, and she became addicted. So we are going through all kinds of things in Canada with our native and what we did with the natives. And I remember as a child learning about how the Anglican Church was so wonderful that we were educating the natives. And that Queen's Gambit really hit me as to the education experience that she had.
You're speaking specifically of how all that started in the orphanage.
Yeah.
What struck me was eventually they called them tranquilizers.
Yes.
And that tranquility, I had never heard people use that term before. In fact, I'm curious if you folks, from your generation, if you've heard that term before, getting tranquility. They associated that right with the tranquilizers. That's what they were doing. My doctor told me I needed more tranquility. I'd never heard that. Has anybody ever heard that kind of expression used with that kind of medication? It was also amazing how it was the same medication. Like, you found it in the orphanage, but then you found it with, I don't know, the hysteric housewife. I'm saying that facetiously.
Yes.
Mother's Little Helper. Well, you know, Lydia Pinkham's medicine was an opiate. And that was something that housewives took, Mother's Little Helper.
Hey, I wonder if you guys could hold for just a moment. My daughter is calling me.
We'll hold.
Hello, you're live with the San Carlos Computer Club. How can I help you?
Hi, Papi.
Hey, baby. What's going on?
Something's going on my end of class, and I need either you or Mommy to call school and tell them that it keeps kicking me out of French.
It keeps kicking you out of French? Have you closed all your tabs?
No.
Have you restarted your computer?
My computer's been restarting all day.
That sounds familiar.
Did you unplug?
Close all your tabs and restart your computer and call me back if it's still a problem.
Right now I'm waiting for my
Maybe
teacher
we'll
to
have
let
to
me back
go back
in.
To Saturday.
Mommy so just answered. She said she's doing school. It.
Okay, baby. I'll talk to you soon.
Why did we go
well,
to
gives
Tuesday?
Us some time to rest a bit.
Thank you.
She said her game won't work.
Say again?
Bill, I saw your snow up there in Edmonton, and we got our first frost today.
Yeah, try 20 centimeters of frost.
I won't be trying that.
Yeah.
Well, up here, we got about a foot and a half of snow, but in the south, they got way more in high winds, so now they got 4 or 5 foot drifts down there, well, everywhere.
We got some pretty pretty good winds. A couple of times, the tarp over top of my RV looked like a spinnaker there. But
where are you, Jim? Are you?
I'm on Vancouver Island, east side of Vancouver Island, The gentle weather side of Vancouver Island.
Well. Well, I got to say, whatever we're doing is keeping the snow away from San Carlos.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
And I heard somebody say, maybe we can't keep doing this on, we'll need to pick another time. I'm afraid whatever problem we're having is intermittent. She may be suffering from the same problem I am, but I don't think we're suffering from each other being on at the same time. We'll have to keep an eye on it, but I don't think that's the issue.
Scott, you talked about, you told her to turn it off and turn it back on again. Basically, we had to reset our Roku television. The sound went really wacky. And anyways, the fix was to unplug it and plug it in again.
I have a Samsung TV that has an HDMI connection to a home entertainment PC, and every once in a while we upgrade the video driver on it, and the monitor just goes, and it took me a while to understand that this rainbow of colors and distortion isn't from the computer, but it's from the TV not being able to handle it, and I have to unplug the TV, give it a couple of seconds, plug it back in. And now it's ready to operate correctly again. It's another one of those sure signs that computers are embedded in all our devices. I'm not going to be surprised if we reach a point where your microwave is not working and you unplug it from the wall for 10 seconds and plug it back in, and now you can set the time again.
The universal cure.
That's right.
Wait, our microwave is built in on here.
Really? It's not plugged into the hood at the top where you keep the cooking oil?
I'm not tall enough to see that.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's why I mentioned it. You might want to check up there. I think it's plugged in.
You have a circuit breaker. Yeah.
Well, any other recommendation? I can highly recommend Queen's Gambit. I thought that was awesome. It kept us sucked into it. Another one that I've recently just plowed right through, can't wait for the next one. They are releasing them weekly, is from Disney+. It's The Right Stuff. And I read the book a long time ago, and I've seen the movie a couple of times. I love astronauts, and so I've always been a big fan. And it's very true to the story. If you are familiar with this, with the story and the original movie, you're probably familiar with feeling like they didn't have enough time in the movie to hit so much. It was just such a rich bit of content. And as a mini series, it spreads out really nice. You get to get really deep into people's lives with it. So I can't say that I learned new stuff, but we got to explore the characters quite a bit more than you get to in the movie, where you're really, in the movie, you're into the space race. And so it's all about getting them out into space, whereas in this mini series, you're really taking time with their families and watching impressions from different members and getting into the background of each one of the astronauts. It's really well done.
Scott, what's the name?
The Right Stuff. It's the same as the book as well as the movie.
Yeah.
I'm making the assumption a number of you are probably familiar with it because it was such a big deal back then.
Alice Wolf.
Hey, Jim, you're really quiet. We can't quite hear what you're saying.
I have my.
Oh, I'm sorry. Other Jim. Jim Cunningham.
Oh, Jim. Oh, that one.
Hey, James. No, I was just saying.
Hey, well, I've got to go back to being James. I forget I'm in Mexico now.
We could call you Jaime.
I don't like that.
Okay. James or Jim. Like it. Jim, go ahead. You were going to say something.
The author of The Right Stuff. Wasn't that Thomas Wolfe?
I believe it is. It would be the only one of his books that I have read. Unless I've read another book without knowing he was the writer of it.
On Fire of the Vanity?
Saw the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, liked the movie. Well, The Right Stuff is up to about 6 episodes now. They're doing it very much like The Mandalorian. They're releasing one a week. And so I'm waiting for the next episode. I just binged all of it on Streamio, and now I'm waiting for them to release the next episode. Or on Kodi. I guess I used Kodi for it.
Well, I finished my Why Women Kill.
Why Women Kill, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Watch out, Bill. She's got reasons now.
Yeah, she'll eat her mushrooms before me.
But it was quite good, and then... at the end of the series, it kind of indicated that perhaps there was going to be more. So I'm wondering if there's any more on that one. The series that we talked about before, Scott, I don't know if you know, is it coming out again, the Umbrella Academy?
Oh, I do believe that they have announced a third season for it.
And Judy said that The Crown is coming out, so I want to watch for that one. I'm trying to think, was there another series I was waiting on?
They're going to start filming the third season on February 1st.
Oh, okay.
So it probably will be coming out in the summer or in the fall of next year.
I watched a series called Bloodline. I think I mentioned it to you guys before. It was about the Florida Keys and a family down there. All kinds of murder and intrigue, which it was quite good.
What was the name, Cheryl?
Bloodline, as in inherited the crimes of the father. So.
Why Women Kill have been announced the season 2, and it's probably in the summer of 21.
I have one to recommend if you guys haven't watched it. It's called The Queen's Gambit. It was quite good.
Oh, we Irving. Just talked about that. Yeah, we were just talking about that. You enjoyed that as well. Oh. It comes highly recommended from the computer club now.
Yeah, okay, I came in late. Sorry.
No problem. Irving, please share your opinion. I didn't mean to talk on top of you there. Any other recommendations, podcasts, news?
I like the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I watched all of those.
You've gone all the way through that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of episodes.
That's I watched 60 Minutes this week. And... I used to watch 60 Minutes all the time, and I kind of went away from it, but I really like their interviews and everything. And last week, there was the story of the guy that did the Well, Bill will tell me the name in a minute here. But anyways, the war, the Vietnam War, he did one on country music. He's done jazz music. It really.
Ken Burns, yeah.
Interesting documentary about him and his videography style and how he makes documentaries. Takes a still life picture and he creates the whole story. And really interesting stuff. So I'm looking forward to finding more of his work.
He's a really famous documentarian, isn't he? I feel like I've seen all kinds of things that he's done. Like, hasn't he also done like surfing movies and gosh. I'm just doing a Google search on him right now. Ken Burns.
He did the Civil War. It was one of his best, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, that just popped up in front of me here.
Surfing and skiing. You may be thinking of, it's another guy.
Yeah, maybe I am thinking of another guy. You're right. I don't see any surfing or skiing here, but you know the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, so do I.
Warren.
Brooklyn Bridge.
I said something.
The Shakers.
I said Warren.
Yeah. Something more.
Statue of Liberty, Huey Long, The Congress. Wow, look at this list of documentaries that Ken Burns has done. Mark Twain.
Are they on YouTube? They're probably on YouTube.
You think?
Well,
that's all Ken Burns stuff.
Say that again, Dave?
It's Ken Burns you're talking about.
Yes, yeah. But we were also, I inadvertently confused him with another documentarian that makes surfing and skiing movies. And so we're trying to sort that one out, too. For lack of other topics.
We actually have a person here in San Carlos who appeared in some of those movies.
Oh, really?
Right. Jock Thomas.
Baseball, country music.
Jock Thomas. He was, last profession was a boot fitter. ski boot, making orthotics and stuff like that for the racers.
Well, you're talking about the, who is that? You said it was Warren?
Movies with the famous, oh, I can't think of his name right off.
Warren Miller.
Right.
Warren Miller.
My question is, are other people seeing the screen kind of flashing? I'm seeing also an extra image, which is somebody, but it's labeled San Carlos Computer Club, and I see that the mic thinks it's constantly working with that person.
That's me, but for some reason...
No, it's not you. It's an unlabeled... It's a different screen image.
Oh, you know what that is? That is just a little graphic that I am broadcasting. There, it should have just disappeared.
Also with glasses. No, it's highlighted on my screen.
I don't see it.
I just removed it. Dialing in, making sure everything's working right. But I did just remove it. I could switch to this view. I don't know what to tell you about the The flashing is a whole new thing. For some reason, I'm having this bizarre... I'm gonna blame Google Meet. I feel like they've been making changes to Meet, and we've been having just weird problems with it.
Well, Scott, yours is the only screen that does it. You're the host of the meeting. Your screen is going in and out. But then you are in the corner. Like, you know, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, I'm gonna work on it this next week because this definitely is not the way it was behaving before. Though nothing has changed.
Yeah, but you've been flashing the whole time.
Yeah, how very strange. Yeah.
It looks frozen a lot of the time.
And it's funny because the audio is wonderful as long as you don't look at the video. Because we can hear you really well, but you're not synced up. And I find that I just don't look at your screen. Jim Cunningham is playing with his background. He has been all over the world. Now he's on. Sorry.
This is only the fourth screen.
What app do you need to do that?
It has to be a certain computer, Sandy, because mine's, I tried to do it in my settings under my Google Meet or under.
Does everybody see Scott with those multiple images on his to his left?
Yeah, with all of us.
Yeah, we're
the
all
middle.
There, but we get half of him. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Can hear me. Why did we change to Tuesday?
Well, because we always were on Tuesday, we switched to Saturday, and then we thought that maybe we should just go back to midweek.
Okay.
I think didn't it have to do with the fact so many of you went are in San Carlos now so that you could meet on Tuesday as soon as the COVID's lifted?
That's not happening anytime soon. We just went orange, so that's really not happening anytime soon.
Not at all.
I think most of the U.S. is bright red right now. Dear.
At the same time, they're waving that hope, like they say, maybe 3 months that we might have a vaccine here. Well, that's 3 months, and this disease can do a lot of this pandemic can do a lot of damage in those 3 months. You know, so yeah, don't relax now and think, oh well, it's coming. You know, we've got to really live in the right now. This is what we need to do today.
That's right. Hi, Scott. You're back.
I'm back. I hope you guys can see me okay. I've rearranged some stuff, so I look a little different right now. But I think I'm part of the meeting, and I think it's sort of working. I've still got issues going on here. I'm not sure
why. Your lips are synchronized with your voice.
Oh, good.
So, Scott, what do you do when you show all of us and you're off to the side? Is that a presentation mode, or is that because you started the meeting you can do that? What is that?
That's all this OBS software I use for streaming. It allows me to set up scenes, and I'm not sure what's going on with it. For some reason, it's having trouble today. That's the reason I kicked it all off and just switched to a webcam. Say again?
It's not a Google Meet thing. It's something that you're using in addition to.
That's right. That's right. You know, like you probably chuckle every week because I'm complaining about things on my end not working. But I've actually got like a bunch of processor intensive things happening so that we can have this meeting and I can record it as a podcast and I can broadcast it on YouTube. And it takes so much more than just doing a meeting. In fact, I almost should get just a computer for the meeting and a computer for doing all this other stuff. And I keep hoping I'm going to go that direction at some point because it's definitely cuts into our ability to have a meeting when there's technical issues.
Yeah. I've got my little 10-year-old Apple computer on, or it's a MacBook Pro, and I'm getting 9 pictures. One of it, Sandy doesn't have a picture, but everybody else is in picture. But there's this one strip down the side that is a list of all the people, and I don't know how to get rid of that.
Oh, well,
just go to the top of it.
Yeah, at the top of that list, there's an X in the upper corner.
It says San Carlos
Computer Club.
Club Q.
And then next to that, there should be an X.
Yeah, there's an X. Close it.
Oh, well, maybe I'm saying goodbye.
No.
Oh, no, there you are. That's perfect. Perfect. That's what I thought. It would just cut me off.
Hey, that's great.
What I was asking, Scott, is because I host, but the only reason I'm hosting it is because I send out the notice and everything, a book club meeting. And all of us come on, and we're all equal. You know, we're just all on the screen.
Yes.
But I noticed you were using that one where you basically are leading it and then you control who is in that screen and stuff. And I'm thinking about talking to the ladies that I used to meet on Saturday morning in San Carlos to teach English to the Castaway Kids Spanish students.
Okay.
So everybody's wanting to get together. And I'm wondering if there is a technology that the senior volunteers, English speaking, could actually work with their Mexican students that are so much more into technology than we are and somehow cross the platform so that we can share our English with them. So I was wondering about Google Meet. And wondering what you were doing there.
Yeah. Well, I find the OBS software is very interesting to use. A lot of gamers use it so they can stream their games and talk on top of them and put them on YouTube. And so it allows me to do things like on the fly, switch to a different monitor, a different desktop, and share that. But then you guys have had issues with that as well because sometimes you need to see exactly and it's just kind of fuzzy coming through in the Meet. It's not fuzzy on YouTube. On YouTube, it comes through at a very high quality. But when it comes, the Google Meet is always creating a quality that's kind of a balancing act between performance and quality. So that's why sometimes I would just pop up, and I don't know. Right now we're looking at a camera. Let me see if I can get OBS on here again without a problem. It appears OBS shows up in my Google Meet as a virtual camera, but what's not happened is the OBS has not come through. So this is nice little troubleshooting for me, because what that means is it's probably OBS related. They have recently updated their software, and one of the function that I use to make it act as a webcam has been integrated into the system. And I'm suspecting that maybe what's going on is there's a conflict. Perhaps there's a conflict. Well, I'm bouncing between cameras now in Meet.
Well, and it encouraged me not to encourage the ladies to meet. I'm not offering what I was thinking I was going to offer. So,
well, what I would say is some of these features that I use are available in Zoom. And so if you get into the Zoom package, then you have a lot more of that kind of stuff that's available to you. Wow, this is not coming back to life.
That Zoom has gotten better, that they don't have the security issues?
Oh, they've leaned into not having the security that people were complaining about.
Okay.
They have doubled down on not being secure. And if you want security, you're supposed to buy their product.
Well, we use their free product. And the thing that gets us is that after 40 minutes, we get a message saying your meeting will end in 10 minutes. But we figured it out that what everybody does is we just sit at our computers, and when everything goes blank, usually in the middle of one woman talking, she says a word and it's just gone. I just start the meeting over again. So yeah. I start the meeting up and everybody comes in and we're back going again. So we can go for our hour and a half that usually ends up about two times we will restart. And it's working quite fine. We never have seen the security issue. There was something about people being able to come in on meetings.
Yes.
We've experienced that. I guess we're not interesting enough. But
so. Well, you remember we did have that one experience where I had broadcasted it on Facebook and we had people popping in and popping in and popping in.
That was on this format. That was on Google Meet.
That's right.
That was not Zoom. Yeah.
That was when he was doing the Facebook one.
Mm-hmm.
He put it out onto Facebook. It was inside Google Meet, yes, but it was a Facebook issue, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty ballsy because basically they had to have a Google account to get into the Meet. You can't get into this Meet unless you identify yourself with a Google account. So they were using their own Google accounts to come in and harass us. I mean, I could go back to that video and figure out each account that had come in to just kind of torpedo our meeting if I wanted to. Well, what that tells you is that if it was something mission critical, somebody might have a vested interest in finding out who those people were. And that in itself, I would think, would be a deterrent from behaving like that. In Zoom, you don't need a special account. With a Zoom link, you can just come in. Doesn't matter who you are.
And now on that note, okay, the issue with Zoom for my sister that only has a Amazon Fire TV tablet. And she doesn't know what her browser is and what an app is, and she couldn't install Zoom meeting. So every time we had a Zoom meeting with her, it was really painful as to whether or not she could get everything turned on, the audio working, the video working, and that would take up the 45 minutes, you know? So there were some issues with Zoom on that. Is a Google account that you need to go to Google Meet the same as having a Gmail account?
Yes.
Okay, because that's another thing. People will say, well, I have a Yahoo, I don't have a Google. And then they'll end up actually having a Google account. Like, you can use
I'm Google. Nodding my head as though you can see me.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the difference between a Google account and, like, sometimes you have to log into your Google account to do things. And sometimes you have to just go into your Gmail.
All these services have been siloed together now. So whereas before you'd have a YouTube account, you'd have a Gmail account, you could have a Google search account, you could have a Hangout account. I can't remember the history of how all this got pushed together. But it got all pushed together under Google. And so one account is now all-encompassing. So if you have a Gmail account, then you already have a search account. You already have a Hangouts account. You already have a Meet account. You already have a YouTube account just with that one Gmail account. And the same is for all those services. If you went to YouTube and signed up for your very first YouTube account, then that new account is immediately able to be a Gmail account. It's immediately available to be a Google account or a Google search account, as well as a Meet account or a Hangout account, because it's all Google services. So you can
Google Drive, Google Photo.
Exactly the same thing. Google Drive and Google Photo is also services that you could have signed up for by yourself, but they entitle you to the other accounts. So you could have a Google services account that's associated with your Yahoo email address because you signed up using your Yahoo email address.
That's where it gets hard, because if you say to people, well, we're going to meet on Google Meet, they say, oh, but I don't have a Gmail, I have a Yahoo. They can still access it just by going on a server into google.com, correct?
Yeah, they can sign up for a Google account using their Yahoo account.
Yeah, Yahoo Mail.
Mail, that's right.
Right. Okay, so it's one's an account and one's a mail.
That's right. That's the distinction that's being made, is that traditionally you would sign up for a Google account that was your Gmail account. And then all these other services were attached to it. But now you can go and get that Google services account. It allows you to access all those services, and you can sign up for it using whatever your email account is.
It's sort of like the old Go Ask Google. You know, we refer to searches as Googles, you know, like...
go Google that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, well, so it's happened across the internet now. Microsoft has done the same thing. For Windows 10, they want you to have, or they would encourage you to have a Windows or a Microsoft Services account for your Windows 10 computer. Well, that Microsoft Services account is everything. It is Skype. It is Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Online. It's your Outlook email account. And then you're actually able to have, I think, up to 5 email addresses that associate with that Microsoft Services account. So if you signed up for your Microsoft Services account using your Yahoo account, you could go there and get an Outlook.com email address. You'd have to give them a new name, and that would be attached to the same list of services. I hope that made some sense of it. I hope I didn't make it more confusing.
Well, and then we didn't get it to the one that's been bugging me for this whole, how many times have we been online? I don't know. Google Photo, Google Drive storage. I still have not
heard that question. Oh, he's back.
Yeah, he did not like my topic.
I am so sorry.
I brought up the dreaded topic and you just disappeared in the middle of whatever you were doing. Anyways, no, the whole thing, the Google accounts, all that kind of stuff. I, for 7 months now, have been trying to figure out what we're going to use as our storage. And, you know, we have those 4 iCloud addresses.
Yep.
You know, hooked to different Gmail. One's a Gmail, one's at iCloud.com. Bill has 2, I have 2. We've got 4 of them. So does that mean we have 4 iClouds? Who the heck knows? Not me. I've been trying to figure this all out and haven't got there yet.
Well, I'll make it more complicated, too. I've got updates on OneDrive in the Microsoft services, the 365 account, because they now have a family plan that allows you for $100 a year to have 6 licenses of Office to install in your various devices. You can give access to 5 other family members. So what you would do, your Microsoft Services account, you'd subscribe to Office 365, and then you would give your Microsoft Services 365 subscription the email addresses of the other people that are supposed to have access to it. Each one of those people are able to download a copy of Office and install it in their computer, and each one gets their own individual 1 terabyte of space.
Whoa.
So it results in 6 terabytes of space being available across you and these other accounts.
That's a Microsoft service account?
Yes. What do they call it? They call it Microsoft 365 Family. I think that's what it's called. I'm going to look it up now. 365.
Does that allow you to borrow from your daughter's account if you need more space?
I don't imagine you would need more space, but it does seem like there's because you're able to share folders from OneDrive to other accounts, then I imagine you can make it available. Like in my daughter's account, for this example, she could have a folder in her OneDrive, and she could share that to my Microsoft Services account with read-write privileges, and then I would be able to stick whatever I wanted into that space.
Oh.
So I know that at least in a roundabout way, it's available.
So it's 1 terabyte of space for each of 6 email addresses?
6 accounts, yeah.
Six accounts.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now because I had just a couple of weeks
how
ago.
How would that cost to iPlatforms?
$100 a year, 2 to 6 people, 1 terabyte of storage per person.
A person is an email address?
Yeah, yeah. If they didn't have a Microsoft Services account, if they didn't already have an Outlook.com or a Hotmail address or a Skype address, that you would be intentionally giving your subscription that address. So if they were going to use their Skype account, you would need to put that address in your subscription, saying this person with this account has access to this one of these 6 licenses.
So if you had a Hotmail account and you have a Skype account,
you have 2 accounts.
Okay. So I then would have 2 terabytes without doing anything.
Well, you would still be buying this subscription on one of those accounts and then authorizing the other account to participate.
So it doesn't have to be another person. It can be all you.
Yeah, that's right. It can be. It's the same price. It's 6 accounts. And that's what I was kind of getting at is if you add somebody that with a Yahoo account, that's fine. But that Yahoo account person is going to have to come to Microsoft and set up a Microsoft Services account using that Yahoo address so that they can get that 1 terabyte of space and sign up and install the Office. But it's based on accounts. It's not based on physical people.
That's a pretty cheap price for what would it be, 6 terabytes?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, it's really cheap. That's why I'm just amazed that Microsoft has done this. It's very competitive. I wish they had done this years ago. The whole subscription model that they offer now is so appealing that if they had offered this back when Google Docs was starting out, Google Docs wouldn't exist. People would have just transferred right over to this.
Okay, but wait a minute. What about photography?
OneDrive, the way OneDrive works is it sets itself up as a drive in your computer. So whatever you want to stick there, you could stick there. You're talking about photography. It's Apple and Google that have married these storage spaces with services so that when you're syncing your photos to the cloud, you're using some special combination of storage solutions. Microsoft still treats OneDrive as a hard drive. And so anything you put on your hard drive, you could be putting on OneDrive. If you're a photographer and you store all your raw images on your hard drive, you could back them up to your terabyte of space. You could use, in fact, Microsoft's most recent changes to the OneDrive is your ability to say, I want everything in my documents, everything in my photos, everything on my desktop to be synchronized to the OneDrive. So I've got this perpetual backup happening. And then what's neat is you can go over to another Windows computer and sign in there, and the OneDrive follows you. And so your desktop follows you, your documents follow you, your photos follow you.
But you yourself would have to do something on the iPad, for instance, photos that you've taken with your phone, you would have to send them somehow to the OneDrive.
That's right. And I'm sorry, again, I don't have an iDevice in my life anymore, but from what I've seen, I believe that when you set up OneDrive on that, and you, somebody out there with an iPhone will have to verify this with me, but when you set up OneDrive, when you install OneDrive in your iDevice, part of that setup, I believe, is asking if you want to back up your photos to OneDrive.
So you actually install OneDrive on all your devices?
Yes.
And you use one subscription, and then you authorize other
accounts.
Other accounts.
So, for example, say you wanted to have 1 terabyte backing up your laptop, but then you're taking photos with your phone and you don't want them to go into the same spot. So maybe you would set up OneDrive with a different account on your phone. So that phone has access to 1 terabyte of space that's different from 1 terabyte of space you're using with your laptop.
So wait a minute. So the Microsoft family is the subscription.
Yes.
The OneDrive is the
storage
that you could assign to each of the 6 different accounts.
Yes. Quite literally, when you go in under subscription preferences, it highlights who else is going to use this service. Like I might subscribe to this for a year, and I'll put my daughter's email and my wife's email, my other daughter's email. Maybe I'll put my mom and dad in there. And so they would get an email message saying that they have been added to a subscription service. And they would follow the email to set it up under the set their access up using that email.
So if they were going to set up OneDrive,
they would start with making sure they had a Microsoft Services account. So say you send it to somebody with a Yahoo address and they don't have a Skype, they don't have a Hotmail account to sign into, then they would use that Yahoo account to set up a new Microsoft Services account. And then in that account, they would see that they have access to a subscription service through the parent account.
Okay, subscription account set up. I'm not really sure when you set up OneDrive.
Well, you set up OneDrive, you sign into OneDrive using your Microsoft Services account. It's just a question of how or when that services account was set up. If you have a Microsoft Services account, but they sent it, they didn't use that email address, then you could talk to them personally and say, hey, can you change the email address so that I can use the Microsoft Services account I already have, and give them that address or that Skype name, whatever it is that you're using for the Microsoft services. And they would have to go into their subscription and remove the Yahoo address and put in the one that the person wanted them to use.
So that would be on settings or something, or subscription?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be under your Microsoft services account settings. When you go into Microsoft services, let me see if I can... Dare I make a change on my computer when finally things are kind of working? If I go into Microsoft...
Judy, are you leaving us? Judy left.
Judy's done.
She waved.
She just went.
Yeah.
She's like, we're out of here. I'm out of here. I'm a Mac user. I don't need all this information. But hey, thank you for finding a topic we could discuss.
I feel like I've brought this topic up for the last 7 months.
Okay, so I'm at the Microsoft page, Microsoft.com. I see I'm not instantly signed in. Let me get myself signed in. Well, take your time. I've looked at it a number of times. Right now, it doesn't want to sign me in. Come on. Let me in. It's just the spinning wheel. Can't reach this page. Well, that's always a good sign. I'm glad I'm still talking to you guys. That means it's not me. No, but there's definitely some... Oh, wouldn't that be funny if they're having a problem? They've actually recently taken some real criticism because... Really? They've taken some real criticism because their cloud services have gone down.
For a long time?
For hours at a time. Ooh. Which is a real long time in the grand scheme of things.
Really?
Yep.
Hours at a time. They've gone down at a frequency level and a period of time that it has people questioning whether cloud services are a good idea. That's how often and how long they've gone down recently. They've just had a series of downages, and you're left going, why did I put all this stuff in the cloud to begin with? Nobody should be left feeling that way in this day and age.
So does Microsoft have more trouble than other people's cloud? Or?
No, not necessarily. That's not been the case. In fact, they're an expert in it. They are one of the leading experts. They compete alongside Google and Amazon for the same customers in that respect.
Oh, no.
You okay there, Jim? But they have been, they have gone down recently. That's bizarre. I can't get into them right now. I don't know what that means. I can get on their home page, but I can't get to their sign-in page. Which would be directly cloud-related. That's nuts. I wonder if my OneDrive is working. Yeah, OneDrive looks like it's up. I'm going to follow the OneDrive link into the web based drive. View online. That's what I want to do. I want to view OneDrive online. I'm starting to feel like the cobbler whose kids have no shoes. It's looking like I need to spend some time doing maintenance on my computer. Go premium. Nothing's... Wow, that's really weird. Well, I'm going to put that on our list of topics. We'll readdress Microsoft stuff next week and see if they're still having problems, because they're definitely having problems right now. Hey, is anybody able to go into their Microsoft Services account right now?
I'm not sure what my Microsoft Services account looks like. Well, computer, and yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if...
where would we find it?
Well, I mean, basic stuff would be, and I'm going to try this right now. What about Outlook.com? Is that available?
See, I never use Outlook, so I'm not sure. Microsoft, Edge,
no,
Store. I have a OneDrive.
Well, Outlook is working for me.
Not you for see, me. Microsoft. I've just got a spinning wheel. I'm not. Now I'm surprised that we're talking. Can I go anywhere else on the internet? Oh, Gmail's working without a problem. So it's definitely. And it might. You know, the way these kinds of services work is that they're distributed services. So there's servers all over the globe that maintain copies of the same information. They try and bring these things closer to you. So it would be possible that me trying to access Outlook from Mexico turns into a problem. Maybe they've got a problem in this part of their network, whereas you over on that end trying to access Outlook.com is working just fine. Jim, you're the one that was just getting into Outlook.com without a problem?
Well, yeah, it was in my mail.
So we're Outlook both in Mexico. Program.
No problem.
I'm not even doing, maybe I'm having a DNS problem, but everything else is coming up. I'm bringing up Opera with a VPN right now to see if that makes any kind of difference. Jim, are you on a VPN in Mexico? I don't remember.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, when you go to Outlook.com, you're doing it across the VPN?
Correct.
Okay, well, that might have something to do with your success. Yeah, look at that. Outlook.com is coming up on Opera using the built-in VPN. But Outlook.com in a naked browser, a naked Chrome browser from Mexico, is all gummed up. It's not doing anything. It's not doing the lookup. It's not. I'm going to turn off the Chrome. I'm going to turn off the VPN in Opera to verify. Outlook.com.
I'll do likewise.
Oh, that's working. Let me go back to Chrome. Maybe it's a Chrome problem. Maybe it's a Chrome problem on my end. No?
Have a good day, everyone.
All right, Irving, we'll talk to you next week. I will debug my issues and hopefully we won't have a problem again.
All the best to all.
I guess we are past the end of our hour. Jim, you too. Hope to see you soon in Mexico. As soon as it's safe, I hope to see you guys in Mexico.
All right. I want to be there, believe me. Thank you.
I saw Bill's video of, or Cheryl's video of Bill using the snowblower, and I think everybody would rather be here right now.
I saw the shovel our driveway. We haven't been here in almost 30 years in the winter. I forgot it.
That's
hard. In fact, it's a lot harder than I remember, for sure.
The sun sets really early.
Oh, and my muscles are kind of tight today, like maybe they hurt.
Well, Sandy,
and I have three shovels.
You know, Sandy, it's quite a different experience. You said how many years you haven't been in winter?
Oh,
well,
God.
Let's see. Terry says it's more like 20. It seems longer to me, but
we're just working since 2012. This is only our eighth time. Yeah, so 8 years of retirement. This is really, really hard.
Hey. Well, I love the look. I think it's gorgeous. It's just too bad the car can't shovel.
Yeah. Well, I'm just not going anywhere. Like once a week, we work up to going and try to get everything done on the one day, but haven't been out the lane.
Hey, Jim, I'm just curious. Did you turn off your VPN? Did you?
Yes, I did. And let me go back. Ooh, get out of the way.
I'm just having all kinds of problems getting to Outlook.com, getting to any of the Microsoft. Everything else is working just fine, but getting to any of the Microsoft services stuff is causing me problems.
Yeah, I'm even with the VPN off, I don't seem to be having any problem.
Well, I wonder what's going on. I don't know. Very strange.
So what browser do you use for the Google Meet?
Well, I have been recently using Microsoft Edge, which is the new one based on Chromium. So it's like a Chrome browser, but it's made by Microsoft. And I've only done that to separate it in my organization. But I'll use any browser to do it. But I try and stick with a Chromium-based browser because Google builds to Chrome. And
see, I always use Google Chrome as my browser. I just did a search on my Windows for Microsoft service accounts and agreements. And every time I want to download anything on my computer, it brings up Edge. It seems like I can't get it to default to anything else. But anyway, so Edge, which I don't know, and it looks a little bit different. But it just brought up all the stuff about service accounts and
oh, good.
That. But it talks a lot about domain and, oh, geez, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff here. Well, software requirements for virtual accounts.
I'm finally getting into my Microsoft account without a VPN.
What's new for managed service accounts? They're calling them managed service.
I think that could be the same thing. Managed service accounts sounds to me like the language they use for corporate customers.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking, because this is the service account.
I finally got into my Outlook. I'm going to see if I can get into my account. I'm signed into my Microsoft.
Windows Server Operating System Security. Standalone managed service accounts. Isolate domain accounts in crucial applications. Oh, I don't know. See, this is way beyond me.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're in the right area. It sounds like you're in the corporate stuff. Which is a hodgepodge.
Well, I looked at Microsoft service.
I am at account.microsoft.com. And it shows me all the devices that I've used that are... Oh, and there's the Git Microsoft 360 subscription. If I had it, it wouldn't have a Git. It'd have a status of my subscription.
Account.
And then the status, if I went to check it, it would give me the ability to assign other people to have access to that same service. And you do it by email address.
Okay. Sign into your account, Microsoft. Well, I assume I have one of those.
Yeah. A Hotmail address or a Skype address, any of that would.
Oh.
Did you get in?
No, it says you can't sign in here with a personal account. Use your work or school account instead. So whatever I got into.
Yeah, what are you in?
I don't know. Microsoft account. Sign in or create account today or myaccount.microsoft.com. You need to enable JavaScript.
Oh, maybe you're getting strange messages if your JavaScript has been disabled.
Who would have done that?
Maybe the Russians.
I'll blame it on Trump. There you go.
Oh, and finally, Outlook is working in my Chrome browser. Gosh, that took forever to I think there's something going on.
Yeah, you've been bouncy with your video all day and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave this for another week.
Yeah, let's get together next Tuesday, and hopefully my whole experience will have improved by then, and that will allow you to have a better experience.
Well, I tell you what, on Saturday morning, we were almost at a loss. What are we going to do? We need to, you know, go on the internet. We need to do something. Well, we were watching the election results, and that's when they declared, you know, so it was Saturday morning. Instead of Computer Club, we actually got the announcement that I won. So
did you guys go out into the streets to dance?
No, we poured ourselves a tequila and toasted.
One of my favorite memes that I saw passing around on social networks is this statement: live your life in such a way that the world doesn't dance when you lose your job.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
All right, Jim. We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Sandy, you can go back to bed now.
Good one.
Love you, Mom. Everything's good?
Everything's good, son. Your friend Justin just had to dig himself out of the front driveway.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think he may have to change tires.